Amen. Good song tonight. That'll get you going. I know some of you were sleeping, so it got you going. Amen. It's good to have Brother Graham come speak to us tonight. And Brother Graham's been such a blessing to us. And I'm looking forward to the Master's Club getting started. So, come on, Brother Graham.
Thank you, Pastor. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. I know the other day I watched on the internet Brother Hokett when he spoke, and he questioned Pastor's wisdom letting us come up here. I think he's a very wise man. As nervous as I get before I speak to anybody, and as much fidgeting I do, and I lengthen my introduction just so that because of that nervousness. Then there's only 20 minutes. I can't do too much damage in that amount of time. So, very wise man. So. How many people here want to please God?
Amen.
Got about half of you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a problem or not, Pastor. I might ask those of you that didn't get your hand up if you have an alternative. But I want to ask that. Let's try it again. How many people here want to please God?
Amen.
Very good. So, I've only been up here 2 minutes. We've held a business meeting, taken two votes, and one was unanimous. So, I don't know. I can cause a little damage, maybe. Let's just take time to read God's Word. I do better if I just read God's Word, because it's says a lot more than I can. Now, faith is the... I'm just going to read verses 1, probably through around 11. We'll see what happens here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's funny. About 2 months ago, a pastor said, we're going to have some preacher from the pews. And he picked on Kelly first, because that's what he usually does. And for some reason, I was in the radar that night. I sat on that side of that night. I shouldn't have done that. And immediately when he said that, I thought to myself, I want to speak on faith. If I was going to speak to anybody, I want to be on faith. And I didn't know at that time that God, between now and then, would really ask me to see about my faith, check my faith, and challenge my faith, give me the opportunity to really live by faith. And I just praise the Lord for that. So as we work our way through this little passage, if you get inspired and say, yeah, Lord, help me with my faith, give me that opportunity. Be careful. It's not always easy. Let me start from the beginning again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good report. That's a good verse. Through faith we understand that the world were formed by the word of God. That's pretty neat too. As I read through that, I hate to keep stalling, but it's just good stuff, because God has faith. He formed this world with faith. He challenges me to have faith. I can do something that God Almighty does. I can have faith. And that was inspiring to me just at the very beginning. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And on it goes. Tremendous chapter about faith. And it's familiar to us, but sometimes we just don't take time just to go back and reread about faith. And we took a vote a minute ago. We all said we want to please God. And it says right there, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know, I wonder sometimes in the world we live in today, other than those of us that loved ones, my mom was stricken with illness, and during those years, she lived on for 12 more years. My faith was challenged. I think there was times that I lived by faith during that. And I think those of you that understand that have had illness or something traumatic in your life, that makes it a little bit easier to live by faith. And we all experience that from time to time. But just in the everyday life, when that's not, we're not being afflicted by that in America today, how many opportunities do we have to live by faith? When we got up this morning, we knew what we were going to eat. It was in the refrigerator. I heard this statistic the other day. I thought it was very, very interesting. If you own a change of clothes, own a car, live under a roof that has shingles, you're richer than 95% of the rest of the world. If you own multiple changes of clothing, own more than one car, and own the roof that you live under, you're in the top 3% of the world. And most of us here in this room are loaded. We are very, very rich in America. We just don't realize it. Our economy's tough this year. There's people that are literally going to be laid off and be without work for 6 months and draw unemployment, and hard times will come, and they're still richer than most of the rest of the world. How do we live by faith with that great blessing poured out upon us? I'm not challenged every day to just get up and really try my faith. If this church wants to please God, and we just said we did, we've got to start exercising our faith. We really do. Let's look at one other passage, and then I'll try and put some wrap-up thoughts in. Luke 7. I just got a new study Bible a while ago, and now I can't find any verses anywhere. So if you get there before I do, just hang on a minute. I'll catch up. Once again, there's quite a bit there, but I'm going to read a lot of it because it just does a better job than I can. Now, when he had ended, I'm going to read in Luke 7, verse 1 through about 10. When he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into the Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they had come to Jesus, and they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. He was worthwhile to go over and help heal this guy. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter into my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and they do it. And Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. That's pretty cool. God Almighty can marvel. If you have faith, if you show faith, God Almighty will take notice. That's pretty cool. And he turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found that the servant was made that was sick was made whole. But that's just good stuff. We just show our faith. God Almighty pays attention to us. Not only do we please him, but he stops a minute. He notices. Just take the time. We in America today We need to have faith. I mean, we need to have the faith to recognize that that person that's breaking your heart, that God is in control and He'll take care of that. We need to have the faith to understand that the bills that might be out of control that scare us, this economy that scares us, that God is on the throne. That a job that needs change, that's just terrible, that's a pain, that's so stressful, God can change that job. God is in control. We need to have the faith in America today to have contentment, to rest in God. Show our faith to calm down and rest in the Lord, and He will be true. A few weeks ago, Pastor gave a quick note, and I actually wrote down something that you were... So I was paying attention that morning. I was pretty proud of myself. He said, where these things come from, and he listed three things. Knowledge, where it comes from, facts and data. Discernment, which I think is better than knowledge, comes from time and experience. And then wisdom. And that's probably better than all three of them, wisdom. Let me read them again. Where they come from. Knowledge comes from facts and data. Discernment comes from time and experience. Wisdom comes from God and faith. And they go hand in hand. You want to please God, you got to have faith. You got to get some wisdom, you got to have God and faith. It's tremendous learning. I'll just close. I just have one illustration that really was a stir to my heart. Many, many years ago, Susan and I were traveling one time. My dad was a pastor, and he pastored for years and years. And then when he was so far in debt, he had to quit for a while and pay some bills. So he was doing that, and he was working for a police department at the time. And in Colorado Springs, at a policeman's seminar, they were studying the patterns of criminals in Colorado and things. And Susan and I were coming back from a training in Denver through to Pueblo, where we lived at the time, and we stopped to just say hi to my dad. We pulled into a little convention motel thing, and I could see the office and the rooms and probably convention. So I went and stuck my head in the door, the back door of the convention place, and about 600 policemen were looking at me. And I was looking at the back of the head of a speaker. So I shut the door real quick. But he was an inquisitive policeman. He wasn't going to let me get away with that. He ran to the door and opened it. He said, can I help you with something? Made me come in. And I said, well, I'm looking for my dad, Walter Graham. And so I had dad get up. He came forward. We went out back, and everybody there knew that was my dad. Later that evening, he said, why don't you just stick around? We're going to have a dinner. They're going to bring a senator in. He's going to speak, tell everybody, how he's going to change the laws, and they're going to enforce them, and it'll be good. So we had some time. We said, that'd be good. We'll go to the dinner. And we did that. As we first got there, we sat down, got our ticket. They have door prize tickets, and we sat down and looked around, and you could see people milling around that knew each other and things. And there was two couples there that were just very handsome and too cool for school. They just really had it going on. You could tell they even knew it. And I just was interested in that. I poked Susan and noticed them. I love checking out people. And we went on through the evening, had our supper. It was a great meal. The senator got up and spoke. It was very inspiring. And at the end, they said, we got door prizes. We're going to give stuff away. So they gave a few things away. Finally, my dad's number was called. He jumped up and he got a goose down policeman's jacket cut out for the gun, and Western style cut on the back, corduroy on the top. And it was nice. It was very nice. And he put his hand in and pulled out a ticket. And wouldn't you know, he pulled out my ticket. And you could hear the jeers. People said, it's fixed, And I got my door prize, and we went on. And he finally came down to the last two door prizes. One was a double-barrel shotgun in a room full of policemen. That was pretty cool. And they pulled out a number. And the guy jumped up. He was excited. He ran up and got his double-barrel shotgun. And he reached in and pulled out a number. And they said, 0336. And nobody... And he said, 0336. And nobody stood up. He said, I'm going to give this gun away to somebody. He had a Smith & Wesson chrome pearl handle, 38, I believe it was. It was a beautiful gun. The cops were just frothing at the mouth in the room. He said, the last call, 0336. Nobody stood up. He picked another ticket and moved on. And they said, thanks for coming, and we moved on. And as we were leaving the room that night, the two couples, too cool for school couples, they were coming in. And somebody said to the one man, what's your ticket number? And he pulled it out of his pocket, 0336. And in the world's eyes, he was not necessarily doing anything wrong. He was off in the lounge. He wasn't exactly where he should be. And that's the challenge to us here tonight. If we're not living by faith, we're going to miss out on a really good blessing. Here on this earth, God will bless you. He will pour down His blessings upon you. And if you're not right in the center of His will, living and exercising your faith on a daily basis, you're going to miss out on His blessing.
That was good. It's going to be hard to follow up on. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Hosea. And I'll be brief. We preached on Hosea just about 3 months ago or so on a Sunday morning. And so it is an area that we have went over with you before. But we'll cover it just again very briefly. Appreciate Brother Graham very much. We need to exercise faith in our own lives. And God is pleased when we exercise faith. As a church, we're going to have to exercise faith. And I tell you what, our faith has been exercised already, and it's going to be exercised even more as we go forward. Amen? Very good. Hosea, as we finish up the Old Testament, we're going to go through the minor prophets. And I want to just touch on these minor prophets each evening on Wednesday nights, give you an idea of what's in the book, and just try to encourage you to read that particular book. Hosea is a prophet of God, of course. He's a prophet to the northern kingdom. Again, remember now, in 931 B.C., the kingdom split into two kingdoms. Israel became two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And now God has sent various prophets to the northern kingdom. One of those prophets was Hosea. And so Hosea is ministering to the northern kingdom. Why? And in the midst of, or when, at the same time, and when they're going to be carried off into captivity by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. So he's going to see the northern kingdom be captured and carried off into captivity. Hosea, again, is ministering to them in a time when the northern kingdom was steeped in spiritual darkness. Not only were they steeped in spiritual darkness, but there was a great political unrest. And it was just a bad time for the northern kingdom. And so God sends Hosea there to prophesy to them. But in sending Hosea to prophesy to them, God does something unique in Hosea's life to afford him the opportunity to understand more than any other prophet or more than any other preacher how God feels concerning his people. And Israel had rejected God. Israel had gone, and the Bible uses the word, a whoring after other gods, and therefore God was greatly displeased with them. But just as if how a person might feel if their husband or wife leaves them, God felt that way about Israel leaving him. And Hosea is going to, God had pronounced to him, look at Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. Look down with me in verse 2. In the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Debelim, which conceived and bare him a son. So God said to, he said to Hosea, go out, you're going to marry a woman. He didn't say to go out and marry an adulteress. He said, you're going to end up marrying a woman who's going to have an affair. She's going to be be that type of lady. And so, presumably, and we understand by the Scripture, that's what happened. He married a lady, her name was Gomer, and she didn't stay put. She was the lady of the night. And she went out and was very adulterous. I'm mixed company, so I'm going to keep it that way. That is how God felt concerning Israel. Israel had rejected him, and Israel had gone out after other gods. And so Hosea was given that unique perspective of feeling the way God feels. In chapters 1 through 3, we read of the tragedy in Hosea's marriage. His wife Gomer went into adultery and harlotry. Hosea was outraged, yet he continued to love her and eventually redeemed her back to himself. Boy, there's a lot here that we don't have time to go over, but Hosea redeemed her back. Let me give you three things I gave you a few months ago, concerning Gomer. Number one, God told, look over with me, chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. First off, when God dealing with, and again, Hosea dealing with Gomer, is hedging up, trying to restrain her behavior, but she could not be restrained. Number 2, verses 9 through 13, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flask given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. We see here, look, one more verse. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went out after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. We see here, secondly, not only does God and Hosea hedging up his wife, restraining her behavior, but also taking away those things in which he had provided for her. In fact, her lovers had told Gomer that those gifts were from her, but actually Hosea had given those gifts to the lovers who gave them to Gomer. In other words, when Gomer was out being an adulterer, Hosea provided for her. Israel had gone a-whoring after other gods, and yet God provided for them. God provided for Israel, amen, in the midst of their sins. By the way, God does the same thing to us. There are three applications here. One's for Gomer, one's for Israel, one's for us. And when we stray from God, God will restrain us. He'll try to put things in our life that will restrain us and hold us back from our behavior. And number two, when we continue down that same path, down that wrong road, then God will, not only will He restrain us, but He'll begin to take things away. He'll begin to take things away from us. God had sent various prophets to warn the northern kingdom. God had sent them down a dark road spiritually as well as economically. And now the Assyrian army is at their doorstep. And God's about to take away many of their lives by way of the Assyrian army. Number three, the third thing that happened to Gomer, therefore, verse 14, therefore behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. The third step in this deal is again restraining. The second step is taking away. And the third step is the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor. This is the place, it's mentioned a couple other times in the Bible, but this is the place in which God puts the nation of Israel when restraining didn't work, when removing didn't work, then God brings them into the Valley of Achor, which means the Valley of Trouble. And when we are not restrained, and we will not allow to be ourselves to be restrained, we will not allow ourselves again to walk right and do right after God takes things away, then He will bring trouble our way. Big trouble. To try to correct us and put us back on the right path. Amen? It's a very, very good picture. And God had done the same thing for Israel. He had restrained them. He had taken things away from them. And now He's about to put them in the Valley of Achor. The Assyrian army is about to come down and take them out. I don't want to be in the Valley of Achor. I don't want to get to that point in my Christian life where God has to come and just completely tear me all the way down. Now again, He does it incrementally. That's what we've been talking about. He does it incrementally. He's tearing us. He's getting us to a place where we will turn back to Him. But I don't want to get to the last step. I don't want to get to the step where God puts me on a shelf. I don't want to get to that point in my life where God sets me aside as a Christian. I mean, amen. We shouldn't have to get to that point. But understanding that God is incrementally working in our lives as He worked in Hosea's life. In Gomer's life, as He works in Israel's life, He's working in our life to keep us and turn us to the right path and keep us going down the right road. Amen? And we want to follow in the right path and do the right thing. And many times He has to bring us to the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, in order that we can see this door. This door, what? This door of hope. understand that the problems, trials, and testings we go through are a door of hope. Seems the opposite, doesn't it? Preacher, how can my problems be the door of hope? It brings us to the door. And we have the opportunity, when we're going through that valley of trouble, to open the door. The door is who? Jesus Christ. He's there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? He never moves. We're the one that moves. And when we come back to that door, we open the door. He's there for us to call us in, to bring us back into the fold. Amen? I love the story. You need to go back and read it. In chapter 3, it says that finally when she reaches the very bottom of the rung, she is now in a slave market, and they're about to sell her. In chapter 3, you can go read about it. And it says that Hosea went to that slave market, he went to that sale, and he purchased his wife back from the slave market. He didn't pay the price of a slave, though. He paid very much less than that. And also a day's worth of food. That's all he paid for her. Sin had brought her to a state where she was worth almost nothing. But to Hosea, she was worth everything. I'm glad today I may be worthless. I may be worthless, but to God I'm worth everything. Isn't that good? God loves me in spite of the things I've done, in spite of the way I may have lived, and the actions I may have performed. God loves me, cares for me, and He's willing and waiting to bring us back. I'm glad He is that Father and the prodigal son with His arms open, waiting to bring us back. It's a tremendous, tremendous story. I encourage you to go read it. As you look throughout it, you can see so many parallels. Hosea pictures Christ in that He suffered over sin, in that He loved the unlovely. I'm glad that the Lord loves the unlovely. And He went after the one in sin to redeem that one back to Himself. Hosea, the book of Hosea, is a great picture of redemption. I'm glad I live in the New Testament age in which grace overcomes all. And God is willing, waiting to redeem us back, to purchase us back from the slave market. There's many, many other applications. The application of salvation is there as well. I'm glad the Lord saved me, purchased me out of the slave market. Amen. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been given a new life. What a great, great illustration. I appreciate the sermon on faith tonight. We need to exercise faith. And we need to remember that God's always there standing with open arms, waiting to take us back, if He would. Not about losing your salvation. I'm talking about the wayward child, bringing them back into the fold. In fact, He says if he loses one sheep, one out of the hundred, He goes and searches for him. Amen? That's good stuff. Let's all stand.